Let us all say amen. And thank the Lord for another opportunity given us to assemble, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
And we know as we sung the song on tonight, our purpose for serving the Lord, for doing all that we do, is to try to make heaven our home when this life is over. And how beautiful heaven must be. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we're looking at our message tonight. And sometimes you'll find, I know it myself, me and Brother Brooks again had talked about a message for tonight, and I think going along with the song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, sometimes I know for myself, sometimes in my personal studies, that's an opportunity also to share with the congregation what you are studying. And so when I talk with Brother Brooks and I talk about it, he said, what you been looking at? I said, well, actually, I was looking at Hebrews 12 and 1. That scripture just stuck in my mind. And he said, well, I think about preaching that, so that's a good subject. And so Hebrews 12, chapter 1, from the subject text, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Amen? Yeah. And so with that as a backdrop, as our subject title, want to say life is a race. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews chapter 12, the Christian life is a race also, we said in the text. And so tonight, I want to discuss from the Word of God this afternoon how each of us can successfully run this race. Amen? Because we all have to run this race. And we all want to run the race, but involved in Hebrews chapter 12, Brother Oles, the Hebrew writer says what?
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
mm-hmm.
let us lay aside every weight
mm-hmm.
and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
He said, let us run with patience. Notice now, the race that is set before us. So we have, we all as Christians are involved in a race, and the race is the finish line. And if you're here tonight and you want to get in the Christian race, no one can get on in the starting blocks until they obey the gospel and be water baptized for the remission of sins. Amen? And so that puts you in the starting blocks. And so if you're here tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, in order to become a Christian, in order to get in the Christian race, you must hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. He suffered on that cross for 6 hours. You must believe that according to the Bible. And then after you believe that, you hear it, believe it, you repent of your sins, of those things, and that lifestyle that you've been living contrary to God, outside of God, you now turn and face God. That is repentance. Repentance begins in the mind, which manifests itself in your actions. And then you'll make the confession of what you believe in your heart, is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we'll water baptize you for the remission of your sins, and then the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ, the only one that you can read about in the Bible. Amen? And so that puts you into the Christian race. So we're talking to those that are Christians in the race. And so when we look at this, and again, this was a study that I was doing, and I thought, and looking at this, you know, you always want to look at yourself and see where you are in lining up with the Word of God. And so in the text, the Hebrew writer says that let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us. So now, you can have a weight, but a weight is not necessarily a sin. But a weight can become a sin. Yeah, you can have a weight that can become a sin. So then, I start with, so now, what is a weight? By definition, a weight is something that causes problems or difficulties. Something that interferes with the progress of someone. And so if I'm in this Christian race, then something that can cause me problem, something that makes it difficult to walk with the Lord, something that slows down my progress, it is a weight. It's something that is carried. Some of us have burdens, amen, that weigh us down. Some of us can't serve the Lord the way we want to because we got burdens on us that weigh us down. And so the Hebrew writer says that when it comes to a weight, you have to lay them aside. We got to get rid of our weights, amen. And so as a Christian, we all have some bad habits, amen. We all have, at times, we possess a bad attitude, amen. Also, even as Christians, sometimes we act inappropriately, amen. And then sometimes we, as Christians, can associate with the wrong folk. Get from 1 Corinthians 15:13. Let me talk to my our YAM group right now, the young people. Yeah, because sometimes if you're not careful, you can hang with the wrong folk. Amen. And even as youth, our youngs, you can hang with the wrong folk. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, Brother Owens, what did the Bible say?
Be not deceived.
He says, be not deceived.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Now, what Paul wanted the Corinthian church to know, and we talked about this a little bit in Bible class today, the Corinthian folk, those were some of them, in 1 Corinthians 6, you'll see how those were some bad folk before they came into the Lord. And some of us had things that was not consistent with living right. And so what Paul let them know in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, don't fool yourself. If you hang with bad folk, it's going to corrupt your good manner. You can't hang around bad folk and then not rub off on you. Yeah, yeah. And so, again, he says in verse 34, he said, awake
to righteousness.
Yeah.
And sin not.
Yeah.
For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
So now, what Paul told him, he said, now, I want you to wake up to righteousness. And to wake up means to return to a mind that's influenced by God. We got, and notice he says here, he said, for some have not the knowledge of God. So in order for me to wake up, I got to have the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, we got to have the word of God. In order for me to get rid of those bad habits that I have, and sometimes it's not just a new convert to have, but we can be in the Lord for 15, 20 years, and we still got some bad habits. Yeah, we got some bad habits. And some of us, even in the church, we possess bad attitudes. Yeah. Sometimes we, even as Christians, we don't act the way we're supposed to act. Yeah. But Paul said to them, he said, now, you need to return your mind back to where the Word of God influences us. The Word of God influences us. And so for that, I want to say, when I look at my weights, every Christian must identify their weights and what they are. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah. So you have to know what your weights are. If you don't know what it is that causes you to stumble, then the devil just having his way with you. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, brother, what did the Bible say?
Examine yourselves.
Yeah.
Whether ye be in the faith.
Uh-huh.
Prove your own selves.
Yeah.
Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ in you, except ye be reprobates.
Yeah, so what the Hebrew writer, Paul, excuse me, was talking to the Corinthian church in his second letter. He says here that we all need to examine ourselves. And again, I need to know, and I do know what my weights are. I know what it is that can cause Brother Stroud to stumble. I know what they are. You need to also know your weight. Why? Because the command from the Word of God is that you lay aside every weight. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know the things that hang you. And understand this here. He says that you examine yourself. And the reason I'm examining myself, he says, to whether ye be in the faith. Then he says, prove your own self. And know you not how that is Christ really in you. Yeah. When I've been in the church for years and I'm still acting up and acting bad, is Christ really in you? Is Christ really in me if I haven't grown from where I used to be?
Right.
Yeah, where I used to be. And so he says here, he says, it is the faith of the Christian that allows them to handle the weights in their lives. We all gonna have weights, but the Lord said, through the word of God, I can lay them aside. Amen. Because if I don't, those weights and also can become sins in our lives. And so when I look at that, I want to look at one example. Get from me Luke chapter 10. Yeah, talk about these weights. And notice in Luke chapter 10, let me get there with you. Jesus, in this text of scripture, identifies and gives an answer to our weights in our life. Jesus identifies for this one person what her weight is, and he also gives an answer to her weights. Now, understand this here. Sometimes some of our weights are brought on by ourselves. I'm going to show that in the text. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Yeah. Some of us are. We are our own worst enemy. But in the text, I thought it was one where Jesus looks at this person and he told her what her issues were, what her weights were. Then he answered the question in Luke 10 in verse number 38, Brother Owens. What the Bible said? Luke 10 in verse 38. Now it came to pass,
as they went,
okay,
that he entered into a certain village.
Yeah.
And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house.
Yeah, now, as a Christian, we need to receive Jesus in our homes. Amen. Yeah, all of us need to let Jesus in the front door. Yeah, let him out the back door. Lock the door when Jesus get in. Yeah. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? For some of us, if you really knew Jesus was in your house, you wouldn't be behaving like you're behaving. Amen. Yeah. You don't realize that. Yeah, but Jesus is watching from up high, and Jesus knows what goes on in our house. So what I'm saying, as Martha was, notice now, just because you let Jesus in don't mean you're going to behave right. Yeah, but she let Jesus into the house. And the Bible says that she had a sister
called Mary.
Yeah.
Which also sat at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
And heard his word.
Yeah. So now she had a sister. Now you got Mary, Martha. But then Martha let Jesus in. But the Bible tells us that Mary, now this story is about Martha. But Mary, the Bible says she sat at the feet of Jesus and she heard his word. And I'm saying to us, I've said it before, and I encourage every Christian, there ought not be a day that you don't sit at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. Let me just say this here. If you don't have time to study the word of God, your schedule is too busy. Yeah. And the best thing I would encourage you to do is start in the morning when you first wake up. Yeah, set aside time. That I can spend some time, notice, like Mary, at the foot of Jesus. In other words, now we have Jesus right here in the Bible. Yeah. All you have to do, and I think I had some of my Sams, and I'm saying this positive today, so I ain't going to call nobody's name, but I had some of the Sams coming to me and say, Brother Stroud, what an application there where I can listen to the Bible. That's a positive. So you can get up in the morning, and while you, I'm a coffee drinker, I'm eating my cereal, I can put on the word of God. And it'll be surprising how the word of God has a soothing effect. The word of God is like a salve. You know, the old people used to use that salve. They'll put salve on anything. You know, older folk will. You cough, they put salve on you. You wake up, they put salve on you. But the word of God is like salve. It has a way of soothing you. And so what's the encouragement? As a Christian, we need to hear from Jesus every day of our lives. Yeah. Acts 17, Brother Owens, go ahead and come back to me. Let me show us in the Bible. We had a good Bible class this morning. Amen, ma'am? Yeah. And everything we did, we gave book, chapter, and? Yeah. So in Acts chapter 17, the Bible talked about the Bereans. What does the Bible say?
Which verse?
Acts 17, verse 11. Yeah.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Yeah, now the Bible says they were more noble than them in Thessalonica. What he was doing was comparing the congregations. And he was talking about the different types of Christians. And what we want to be here at Highland Heights, we want to be that congregation that's more noble. Amen. We want to be the one that Brother Brooks said this morning, we do things from the Word of God. We do things based on the Word of God. Now, he said Paul was making a comparison here. He said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Read.
And that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
And
searched the scriptures daily.
How often?
Daily.
How often?
Daily.
That seemed like every day. Every day. The reason for they being more noble was not just the fact that they, their pedigree, where they were born, they were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were what?
So.
Yeah. So you need to always, I said this in the class this morning, always check up on the preacher. You have a right to question anything me and Brother Brooks preach. You have that right. And our answer ought to be book, chapter, and
verse.
Yeah. And so again, that's my encouragement of that, how I run this race. I run this race every day. I need spiritual food. I need spiritual food. I need spiritual food in the Word of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And understand about, we have two kind of man. You have that man that look good on the outside, or the woman that look good, but you have an inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Brother Old. 2 Corinthians 4:16. What does the Bible say?
For which cause we faint not,
mm-hmm.
but though our outward man perish.
The outward man do what?
Perish.
Read.
Yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
See, so it don't matter how old I get. My inner man can be renewed through the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, though the outward man perish, he said the inward man can be renewed day by day. And then notice he talked about the stuff we deal with in life, for our light affliction,
which is but for a moment,
yeah,
working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Yeah, so Paul told him, he said, understand this here. The stuff that you're going through in this life, understand this. He said, it is light. And it works for you a exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen,
but at the things which are not seen.
Yeah.
For the things which are seen are temporal.
Yeah.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yeah, I'm learning now. The older I get, I'm not concerned about temporal things. Yeah, I'm thinking about eternal things, temporal things, the car, the house, and job. Those are temporal. Eternal things is going to be with you forever.
Amen.
Yeah, and so again, the encouragement is that even though my outward man and getting older and the grayer and grayer and grayer, yeah, I'm going from salt and pepper to nothing but salt shaker. Yeah, and then some people don't wear nothing, so they don't know what they got. Yeah, let me talk about that too. Yeah, but again, Paul said that even though I'm getting older, understand this here, and I'm saying this also to our Sams and a ma'am, that you can still stay sharp. That's what he's saying. Even though the outward man is getting older, your inward man can be renewed. You can be more sharper when it comes to the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, we can be more spiritual even though we get older, and that ought to be how we ought to live. Amen. We talked about the yams ought to be able to look to the mams for direction, and then the mams can look to the sam for direction. Why? Because as we get older, we refine ourselves and we renew ourselves day by day by the Word of God. Amen.
Amen?
So let's get back to Martha. Luke chapter 10. And let me get that with you, Brother Oles. Luke chapter 10. Because you start reading something that I ain't finding in the scripture, I'm going to call you on it. Yeah. So you got two sisters, Martha, and you got Mary. Now, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. But now, look at verse number 40.
But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.
Yeah, now, what Martha said, and the word cumbered fits with that word weight. The word cumbered means unable to pay attention to something or to get agitated, upset with someone or something.
See, sometimes as Christians, I've learned this here. When things don't go our way, when you one that used to always run and stuff, we talked about that in our Bible class today, and wanting people to do what you want to do, you become agitated and upset with other people.
Right.
Yeah. And what that does is that distracts you from the word of God. Now, the Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And so she had a responsibility to do. Now, whether your sister do her part, you got to do your part.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes as Christians, we don't want to work if somebody else ain't working. Amen. I don't want to come to church if somebody else ain't coming. Yeah. But that's that Martha attitude. Yeah. You paying attention to the wrong thing. Yeah. And the Bible says she went to Jesus and said, don't you care about me? You know, I'm doing all this work, and look at my sister. She ain't doing nothing. She leaving me by myself, and aren't you going to make her help me? Yeah. And sometime in the church, if we don't see other people working, we won't work. Yeah, but my working and my coming to church ain't based on nobody else.
Amen.
Amen. You know, my based on the fact that the relationship, Brother Brooks said this morning, the relationship that I have with Jesus and the thankfulness that I have with Jesus, you don't have to, and some of us get the point, you don't have to enter to me in order for me to come to serve. In other words, you don't have to pump me up, but then there are times we do need that. We have all type of Christians in the Lord's body. Amen. Sometimes things run a little low. Sometimes we are like Martha, where things begin to burden me down. Things begin to agitate me. Things begin to upset me. And I need to understand that those are weights that I can let go. But notice what Jesus said to her in responding to her.
And Jesus answered and said unto her,
yeah,
Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful.
Yeah.
And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.
Now notice what Jesus said to her. He said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Now there's a difference between being careful and being troubled. Being careful is to be nervous about what might happen, which distracts one from concentrating, and that develops anxiety. You know, sometimes we got doctor's appointment. Yeah. And we ain't been doing what the doctor told us to do.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all know how we do. So we know we got to go back to the doctor.
Right.
And he done told me what to do.
Right.
Yeah. He done told me. So now I'm worried about my test results.
Right.
Yeah. But now he told me, Brother Stroud, Ms. Stroud, you know, you need to do such and such. Yeah. And sometimes as a Christian, some of us worry too much about what might happen. Yeah. Man, Trump in the throne, Trump the president. Man, we don't know what's going to happen. You still don't know what's going to happen.
Amen.
You still don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but Trump in office now. Trump in office now. We don't know what going on. You still don't know. Yeah. And so, what Jesus was telling Martha, Martha, you can't continue to live your life being worried about stuff, because those things that you worry about, I'm going to show you the answer to it, will distract you from serving God. How many of us have not come back to service because of stuff going on in our lives, things that might happen, and we sit around and worry about those things? Well, then that's that Martha mentality. Jesus told you are careful about many things. You know, if you want to sit around and worry, you can worry about a lot of stuff. Amen. Then he told Martha, he said, not only are you careful, but you are troubled. Now, trouble by definition means to suffer due to the pressure of circumstances or situations that we find ourselves in. So understand this here. You can worry about stuff that might happen, and you can worry about the situation that you're in. And Jesus told Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about too much stuff. Yeah. And if we ain't careful, I work in the field that people take medication because of their anxiety level. Yeah, and that's not a negative or positive. It is what it is. Yeah. Because of the fact that my anxiety, because if I get too anxious, blood pressure go, other things are affected when I'm anxious. And so what Jesus told Martha, he said, Martha, you are worried about too much stuff. And what you're doing is distracting you. Amen. When it comes to worshiping God and serving God, we ought to have a one-track mind. Yeah. My Sunday morning, I'm going to, the Sunday is the Lord's day. Amen. Yeah. John said that in Revelation 1. This is the Lord's day, and everything else, take a back seat. Yeah, whatever weights I have to learn to lay them aside. So Jesus said, and understand this, sometimes we are in circumstances. Amen. And it seems like sometimes with the devil, for many of us, we get in financial pressures. Amen, somebody. Amen. Yeah, and those pressures seem to pressure us. Yeah, pressure us that we can't serve God and give to God. Sometimes I may not give to God because I'm letting my bills pressure me. No, they're not going to pressure me. I'm going to give to the Lord first, and I'm going to deal with my bills how I have to. Yeah. But sometimes we live above our means, amen, somebody. Amen. Yeah. And that's the challenge. It just need to coordinate. I think Brother Cash said we're going to have the workshop coming where we can have somebody talk about from a legal situation and then a financial situation, because we all need help. Amen. Yeah, I can't wait for the class. We can all grow in whatever area we're in. Amen. So we got our Sam's group going to offer a workshop to us that we can come and we can learn better how to manage and know more about things that we don't know about. Because if we don't, we're going to be careful about those things. We're going to be troubled about those things. And I've learned, you know, it's a troubling thing to have trouble on your mind. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. When I go to bed, I want to lay it. Yeah. I don't want to know all that other stuff. You know, I tell people sometimes, I say, well, Pastor, you ain't going to stay. No. I say, God up, let him stay. I got to go to sleep. Yeah, God, let God deal with that. Yeah. And sometimes you wake up in the morning, God done work that thing out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, just go to sleep.
Amen.
You know, sometimes just go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
And let God deal with this stuff. And sometimes we try to take on too much stuff.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Get from a Matthew chapter. Well, let me finish up what Jesus told Mary, Martha, and then I'll give us an answer to how do we deal with anxiety and trouble. He said, Jesus told Martha, he said, but one thing is needful. Yeah, and the word needful is something that a person must have. Something that is needed in order to live or succeed or be happy. He said, one thing is needful. You only need one thing. And he said, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Remember, Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. See, sometimes all we need is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to the word of God. That's what Jesus, he said, one thing, not two, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen what's needful.
Amen.
Mary said, I'm going to just listen to Jesus. And I'm saying to all of us, sometimes in life, all we need to do is listen to Jesus.
Amen.
Well, what did Jesus say? Go to Matthew 6:33. Yeah. Matthew 6:33. Yeah. So I'm running this race. I have to identify those things that awaits in my life and understand it's an individual responsibility for me to let those weights go down. Because if I don't, then them weights can become a sin. But notice what, now, if I'm listening to Jesus, Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse number 33, he said what?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its
righteousness. Well, no, start at verse number, go back up to verse number 30. Yeah, start there. Wherefore,
if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
See, the problem we have sometimes is our faith. We got a faith problem. What Jesus gave them he said, now, if God can clothe the grass of the field, he said, and the grass is here today and is gone tomorrow, he said, now, shall he not much more clothe you? Your problem is your faith. See, that's our problem. Our problem, we say we have faith. Yeah. But Jesus said, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. Verse 32. For your heavenly Father
knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
See, your Father, understand this here. When I'm in a situation, God already knows what I need. Yes, sometimes we forget. God already knows what I need. God knows that. God knows it. God knows it. And so whatever I'm anxious over, whatever is pressing me, God knows. Yeah. And so Jesus had to remind them that your Father know what you need. We don't have to tell God we need it. God said, ask and it shall be given. Then he said, the answer to the problem, if I'm listening to Jesus, verse 33, he says what?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Read.
And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yeah, see, Jesus said, church folk, when you start prioritizing life, make sure the church of Christ comes first. That's what Jesus said. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and now, and all these things that you are looking for, and all these things that are, he said, will be added unto you. Everything that you're going through, it begins when I seek the Lord first and try to do right. And then he answers Martha's question in verse number 34. Read.
Take therefore no thought up for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Yeah. The church of Christ is where we learn about how to live right. And Jesus said those things that causes us worry will be reduced when our faith in Jesus increases. You know, when you trust in the Lord, you don't worry as much. Amen, somebody. But when I'm not trusting in the Lord, I worry about things I ought not worry about. Yeah. Because you can't control. Understand this here. People going to be people, and they're going to do what they want to do. As I said, you know, I meant more and more about, Trump is the president. Trump, don't matter. Don't matter. Yeah. You had one Bush. You had another Bush. You might have another Bush. Yeah. There ain't nothing but bushes. Yeah. You trim your bush. Yeah. And if you have a Trump card, you just play it. Yeah. That'll catch up with you tomorrow sometime. Yeah. But Jesus said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. In other words, Jesus talking about don't worry. Now understand this here. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. But when I become so concerned, I can't do the word will of God, now it becomes sin. Because now it's distracting me from doing what I ought to do. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. He says in the text, he said, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient until the day is, the day is going to be, you're going to have some bad days. Yeah, you need to know that. Yeah, but ain't no sense in worrying about it because those days are going to come. But Jesus said, as long as I put the Lord first, as long as I do as Mary did, as long as I listen to the word of God and then implement it to my life, what that word is, God said, I'm going to be all right. Amen. So again, as I close, let us lay aside the weights and the sin. Let me deal with sin since I didn't say what a sin here. 1 John 3:4, Brother Owens. 1 John 3:4, so we'll know. We can have a weight, and a weight and a sin are two different things, but a weight can become a sin. So when John wrote in 1 John 3:4, Brother Old, he said what?
Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law.
Now, John said, whosoever committed sin, you transgress also the law, for sin
is the transgression of the law.
Yeah, so now that defines, sin is when we transgress the law of God. To do that which is not lawful is sin. Amen. Yeah, so when we do things that are not lawful, that becomes sin. And so as I close, go back to Hebrews 12, because the answer is still right there in verse number 2. Hebrews 12 in verse number 2. He tells us to look somewhere. Yeah. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking.
Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah. So now he says, understand this here. We're in a race. But he said we ought to look to Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Notice now our faith. So what he's saying that the word author here is the person that's in charge. In other words, Jesus is the captain of our lives. Yeah. And not only that, he is the finisher or he's the perfecter. Jesus got everything that we need to deal with any circumstance or situation and is dealt with through our faith. Amen. Yeah. We just have to have faith. So in this Christian race, our responsibility, those things that are weights in our lives, Jesus says through the Hebrew writer, it's my responsibility to lay those things aside. Lay them down. And then he says, I am to run with patience the race that is set before me. And so I understand that I got in this race, I just got to keep my eye on Jesus. Keep my eye on Jesus. And understand that he's the author and the finisher. He's the one that's going to see me through. It's through my faith that I have in this race. You got to have faith. And the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yeah, we got to listen to the word of God. We got to share the word of God. And so if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the Bible tells us how does one get in the Christian race. I said it at the opening, but I want to let us know the only thing that can stop us from becoming a Christian is the sin that's in our lives. But in Hebrews, go back to Hebrew 11. Stay in Hebrews. Look at 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. He said, almost all things
are by the law purged with blood.
Yeah.
And without shedding of blood is no remission.
So again, how do I get in the Christian race? Some blood had to be shed. And that blood was Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, nobody receives remission. And remission means forgiveness. So without Jesus shedding his blood, nobody will see remission of sin. But then Jesus said in Luke 24:46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So what we're saying to you, if you're here today in the audience and you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ died on that cross, and with his blood that was shed, he not only paid for your sins, but he purchased the church. And then in Romans 6:3, Brother Olds, what does the Bible say my responsibility is to get into this Christian race? He said, know ye not
that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Yeah, read.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Yeah.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So that's how I begin in the Christian race. Jesus said through the Roman writer Paul, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And so what are you saying, Brother Stroud? In order to become a Christian, I understand from Hebrews 9:22 that blood had to be shed. That blood that was shed was Jesus Christ. He shed blood for the church. He shed blood for my sin. And the Bible tells me now I got to die with Christ. And I die in watery baptism. I hear the gospel. I believe the same. I repent of my sin. I make the confession that what I believe in my heart, that Jesus Christ is God's son. Then I'm water baptized for the remission of my sin. And God adds me to the church of Christ. There's someone today that would like to lay off their weight and begin their race with Jesus. We bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse over him.